This free extract of Sam the Magic Genie was written by Brian Main and forms part of his goal mapping program for children and adults, helping people of all ages to turn their dreams into realities. To receive the complete audiobook, more information on the Goal Mapping Family Pack or School Empower program, please visit www.goalmapping.com. Sam the Magic Genie was narrated by Sarah Ward. Sam the Magic Genie, Chapter 1, Joseph. It was late into the night. The room was dark, and a young boy called Joseph lay curled on his bed, gently crying. With his knees tucked tightly up into his chest and his arms wrapped around himself in a cuddle, soft tears rolled down his quivering cheek to splash upon a soggy pillow. It was not a bitter sobbing, just a gentle stream of liquid sadness trickling from a deep pool of inner hurt. For as long as Joseph could remember, he'd felt a sort of emptiness deep inside him. Some days were better than others, and there were times when he was really happy, but always, deep down, there was this feeling of sadness. He had a mother and a father who were good to him. He lived in a nice home. He had lots of toys, plenty of friends, and a best mate called Bob. In fact, it would seem that Joseph had every reason to be happy. But he wasn't happy. He felt sad. The one thing that Joseph really wanted above anything else was to be with his parents more. He loved them so very much. They were at the centre of his world. But they were always so busy. Busy working, busy shopping, busy talking. Well, they never seemed to have enough time to be with him anymore. When his parents went out, he was normally told to stay in, unless, of course, they wanted to show him off. And when they stayed in, he was often asked to go out. Run along and play, dear. Not now, I'm busy. Go to your room. Most of the time he felt alone, even when his parents were nearby, or they weren't really with him. It hadn't always been this way. As he lay there watching the pictures of his past flash across the viewing screen of his mind, Joseph remembered a time when he was very small. He remembered times when both his parents, with smiling faces, would look so adoringly into his eyes that it seemed to touch something deep down inside him. This always made Joseph feel safe. It made him feel secure. It made him feel happy and special because, well, deep down in his heart, it made Joseph feel loved. Sadly, as Joseph had grown older, his parents had looked into his eyes less and less. Now, thought Joseph, the only time they stare into my eyes is when they're angry with me. Their faces are no longer smiling. Their eyes don't sparkle. And it doesn't make me feel the same way. I try to get their attention and feel their love. I show them the things that I can do and am proud of. But they are always too busy to really notice. They say things like, that's quite good, Joseph. Or, yes, very nice, dear. But their eyes are not looking into mine as they speak. Their faces are blank, and they continue to stare at the television or the newspaper instead. Joseph had noticed that his parents only seemed to love him when he'd done something better than someone else. They were always comparing him to other people, measuring him against tests. They wanted him to be the best at everything, and no matter how well he'd done, they always knew someone else that he must live up to, another test to pass, so that they could boast and brag about it to everyone. Sometimes it made Joseph feel like, just another one of their many possessions, like a new car being displayed to the neighbours. The pressure never seemed to stop.
Other children manage fine, his father would say. What's your problem? I expect you to be top of the class, Joseph. When I was your age, I didn't have time to study at school. I was too busy helping your grandparents make a living. I want you to be well educated, whatever it costs. But you must try harder. And remember, big boys don't cry.
It was the same with his mother. Really, Joseph, she'd said the other day whilst dressing for the office. If you're not the best, you're nobody. And we don't like nobodies. If you want me to be proud of you, then you simply must do better. The final straw had come earlier that evening. Mum had stayed too late checking on people at work, and Dad had been glued to the computer screen for hours checking the price of his shares. Oh my God, she'd shouted when she finally burst through the door in a fluster. Oh, you're not even dressed yet, she shouted at Joseph's dad, snapping him out of his trance. The Grizzly Granges are coming to dinner. Well, they're arriving in an hour and you've done nothing. Well, I'm not giving them the satisfaction of telling people that we aren't top class. Joseph, I need you to go straight to your room right now and stay there until morning. These are very important people, and Mummy and Daddy need to make a good impression. I haven't time to do your dinner now, but I'll bring you a sandwich later. Up you go now and study. He found the study hard. It was always hard when he felt this upset. A dozen times or more he'd picked up his science book, but through tearful eyes and sad thoughts, and the words on the page all seemed a jumble. Oh, what's the use? His head seemed to be saying, you're not good enough. His focus kept drifting back to how empty he felt. Empty in the stomach and empty in the heart. Mum had forgotten his sandwich. And worst of all, well, there'd not even been a kiss goodnight. So he'd abandoned the book and lain on his bed wondering whether the feeling he had of not being good enough, of being worth less than other people, was causing his deep sadness. Another cold tear dripped from the end of his eyelash and splashed onto his already wet cheek. He sniffed. A shiver ran through his body. And giving a big stretch, he breathed in so deeply that it seemed to fill his whole inside right down to his toes. As he breathed out with a sigh, his breath kissed his heart and carried with it a wish. A wish to feel happy. A wish to feel protected. A wish for true love from his parents, unconditionally. Holding this thought, he curled up in his pajamas to give himself a hug and snuggled the silky-edged blanket under his chin. Soon, with the rhythmic rocking of his gentle breathing, his eyes grew very heavy and slowly closed. All was silent now, with just the easy tick-tock of the old alarm clock that sat on the bedside table and the distant hum of an occasional car making its way along their road. With his eyes softly closed, Joseph watched the thoughts of another day slip from his mind and begin their short journey to become part of his memory. His body felt warm and relaxed as he began to drift into the world of dreamy sleep. Suddenly, just as he was entering the place of dreams, he became aware of a strange glow in his bedroom, as if someone had lit a tiny candle. His eyes snapped open as the light suddenly burst into a flash, making a loud whooshing noise and ending in a lingering, ringing ping. Joseph sat bolt upright, too startled to even shout. He stared in amazement at the sight before him. There, hovering just above the end of his bed, sat a large, shining genie. The genie looked straight at him with huge, sparkling eyes, gave an enormous grin and said, You called?